McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Whenever he's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes!
Ralph Robinson and delivered! Sidon scores!
Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is!
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome to the first ever Falkirk Daft. This is your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Bairns. It's by the fans, for the fans, as we look at everything Falkirk FC. Hello, I am John McAnally, a radio and podcast producer. And you know what? I think it's really irked me that there's never been a weekly podcast dedicated to our club. So I thought it was about time there was one. So here we have it. This is Falkirk Daft. We're going to be talking over all the big talking points around Falkirk FC. We'll be reviewing, previewing matches, asking some big questions along the way, and hopefully at some point chat to some ex-players as well. And it'd be a bit rubbish if it was just me talking to you. So joining me is the man that actually convinced me to get this podcast going, the ginger god of pod himself, a well-kent face around the stadium. It is Mr. Ross Wayne. How are you, Ross?
Cheers, John. Yes, very well. I think my persistence paid off. It was only about 2 years.
It's kept going. Oh, you do football, Daft. You do this podcast. Do one for Falkirk. Go on. So I've actually found some time now to do it. So I'm. Do you know what? It's a long time coming. And like I say, I can't believe. I mean, we've got obviously the boys over at Walking Hope Street doing a fantastic job over there, but we don't have a weekly podcast for Falkirk fans. So it's amazing that we don't, because there's so many. I know so many people that work in the media that are Falkirk supporters, and we've never had it before. So here we go. Here we go. It's just us two doing it.
Exactly. And you know what? A couple of guys said this at the game on Saturday. There's been nothing like this since the Falkirk football programme.
Oh, bring back Andy Thompson. Let's get Andy Thompson on straight away.
What was it? Andy Thompson, Keith Hogg, and
aye. Oh, where is the boy? Jackie McAndrew. I don't know if he's with us right enough. So,
I don't know. That was brilliant.
I know. I'm sure Central FM, if you want the show Central FM, you've got my number. Give us a call. We can maybe sell it to you. Listen, we'll see how it goes, first of all. Right. Got to get your Bairns story, Ross. People need to know. Everyone I know, you're Mr. Falkirk himself. You're there, here, everywhere with Falkirk. But where did it all start with you?
We're going back a bit. So, yeah, I'm sadly 41 now, and started going late 80s. My dad, I think I came home from primary school one day. Loads of people in the school were wearing sort of Rangers and Celtic strips and stuff like that. And I think he thought, well, we better stop this at the pass just in case. Before we knew it, I remember quite vividly going with my mum and dad to a shop at, like, remember the old Calendar Riggs?
There's
a sports shop in there. I don't think Falkirk actually had a club shop at the time. I got bought the strip. It was the coasters, the small coasters one. Never looked back. Loved it ever since. Obviously, we don't win a lot, but when we do, I think you enjoy it more, don't you? So season ticket holder since probably early 90s. Started off in the main stand, actually, with my dad, and then worked your way around Cooperage Lane, Hope Street, and then for as long as we were at Brockville then, we stood under the shed, which was just amazing. And that's where, obviously, I met your good self. So
that's how we met. You know, we met through Falkirk many years ago, standing at Brockville through. And it's been really, it was a mutual friend, and kind of we moved away from the group, and we've kind of all stood together now at Brockville, moved into the new stadium, obviously. And now we've moved from the south stand into the main stand. We've become grumpy old guys now, so we're sitting in there, no singing, you know, no atmosphere. We're doing all that whole thing now, you know. I'm going to hold up my hands right now. My first football game, I was indoctrinated in, become a Hearts supporter, believe it or not. believe it or not. But, you know, I was never a massive football, but it was a bit later on that I got into football, into Falkirk, and started going to the games and stuff like that. And then once I saw the light, there was no turning back. So,
and that's it. That's the magic of the Bairns. So
yeah, exactly.
It's good that we saved you from the dark side, because the Arks would have been an awful choice.
At least I might have seen a couple of Scottish Cup victories, you know, but it's been a roller coaster, let's just say that. Absolutely. Much over the 25 years or however long I've been following the Bairns. I've got to ask you, and we're going to get some guest pundits on just in a minute, and we're going to ask every guest pundit that comes onto the show these two questions. And I'm going to ask you this, Ross. Okay. First of all, I've got a funny feeling it's going to be between three players all the way through, but who is your Falkirk football player of all time?
Oof. Yeah, I can understand why you're thinking it would be one of three, because obviously the Holy Trinity.
For a different age group, it might be slightly different.
That's true. Do you know, I've got two answers. So the first person I remember playing, as in I was pretending to be down the park, was as a youngster. It was a fellow Ginge, Mr. Sammy McGivern.
Of course, you went with the ginger.
In fact, I think in later years, I think I then pretended to be Brian Rice. So maybe, I think that is maybe a trend.
Just try and think of other ginger players that have played for Falkirk. Any modern ginger? Do you know what? We've not had a ginger player in a long time.
No, we haven't. I don't know if that's a bad thing, though, John. Because remember, at least the chants have stopped.
That is true.
Anti-ginger shouts. But so probably Sammy. But actually, yeah, so from the three, it has to be Crunchy. Do you know, I was reading the programme for the game last month now. And do you know what a tremendous player he was? And I think it could have been Brian Flynn or Sandy Alexander. Someone said as soon as he picked up the ball and started running towards the Hope Street end, you just knew something magic was going to happen. And probably other than Stainrod and Latapy, who's the other two obvious choices, he was phenomenal. So it has to be wee Crunchy.
Right, okay. What's your favourite game?
There's a few, and you mentioned Hearts.
No, we won't mention one. That's a story for another day on another podcast. No.
Yeah, so, do you know, I remember there is Hearts kind of feature, though. I've got three in my head, and do you know, they probably are Hearts. So the 6-0 drubbing, was it 93? I think Baptiste scored a hat-trick, was brilliant. The 4-0 Colin Samuel game was just out of this world. I know we got beat, but see that semi-final against Hearts as well.
Heartbreaking.
The Crunchy show, you know, but it wasn't just about Crunchy. The full team were just phenomenal. There was that spirit in 97 had carried forward, and we should have won the game. But yeah, so Hearts very much in there. If I was to, can I go with the three? Probably that 4-0. With the Sammy hat trick after 28, 29 minutes. Rob McLean, what was it he said after 2 minutes? 1-0 Falkirk, and it's been coming. That was just, you know, we pummeled them from kickoff. So, What about you?
Right, well, I'm going to go, just because you picked Crunchy, now I really should pick Crunchy because my brother's been heavily involved in the Crunchy Initiative and getting the stand named after Kevin. But I just can't look past Russell Latapy. I just can't. And every time that boy got the ball, again, like you say, with Crunchy, I mean, he was really a stadium era player. You know, I mean, that's the greatest player to probably play in the stadium. But just his touch, the way he moved, the way he would make space, the way he'd bring people into play, carry the ball forward. And let's not forget, he played in the World Cup as a Falkirk player. And so did Denzel Theobald as well. But
that's good. But you're right.
Last Lappy was just tremendous. He was just a magician, an absolute god. So I'm going to say Russell. Sorry, Kevin. For me, it was Russell. But I'm sure we'll get into that as the podcast progresses. We have debates about this. There's going to be talking points all over the place. And I'm sure everyone that comes on to this feature will be one of the three, but we'll wait and see. Favourite game-wise, I would probably go just the memories, the thought of it. I can still remember it, the 1-0 win against Celtic in the 97. Just gives me tingles. Just like even like the first game, you know, Big Kev, just that, just
rising the salmon at the back post on it.
It was amazing, absolutely amazing. So yeah, we'll go with that for me. But yeah, it's like it's not about us. This podcast is about you. About you guys that are going to listen, hopefully. And every week we're going to bring on pundits to help us along our way on this journey. And this week I'm really proud to present two guys who are deeply involved in the Falkirk Supporters Society. Please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Stuart Adam and Paul Robertson.
Welcome, guys.
Pleasure to be here.
You're our very first guest. I hope you brought us a present.
A wee drink, but that's just for me.
Okay, fine. You're it already, Stuart, God.
It's time difference here in Central Falkirk, anyway.
Brilliant. So you guys, I mean, let's just get into, before I get into the Falkirk Supporters Society, I want to ask you this question. We're going to ask everybody that comes on Falkirk Daft these two questions. Come to you first, Stuart. Who's your favourite Falkirk player of all time?
Favourite Falkirk player of all time has to be either Peter Houston, Sam McGivern, or Brian Rice. So,
For God's sake, are you? This is the ginger club right here, isn't it?
Even Rob Stewart or Ken Eady, if you want that as well. So, yeah. I mean, Houston's basically number one for me because he effectively saved the club in 1982, was it, when he signed? He turned us around back then when things were going wrong.
Yeah.
So he laid the foundations. And he was a role model.
You might have an answer for us. We're just discussing it there. Who was the last ginger that Falkirk signed? Or can you remember any other good gingers that played for Falkirk since the heyday?
All good gingers, weren't they?
It's been you. It's a wee bit ginger.
Paddy Craig.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, Paddy.
That's a good one as well. Right.
The young lad who was signed from Aberdeen there, Finn, I'm claiming him as a ginger as well.
I think you could probably claim him as one. Paul, what about you?
Quite a few. I mean, Stuart and I are the same generation, so we remember that Yogi team and the Taunton team that went to the cup final. Although I've been watching Falkirk for over 50 years. So I would actually say I have a great liking for Kevin James.
Oh, yeah.
Big Jinky.
I did a couple of things with him during Back the Bairns and charity things. Lovely guy. Really liked him. Very modest. But my God, just the sheer size made him stand out.
Yeah.
I think he was actually really, he was so tall he couldn't jump, right? He didn't have to. He never learned to jump in his life, right? And look at the goals he scored for us. And
it's true. Phenomenal.
And, you know, if things were going bad, we stuck him up front, right?
Yeah.
He was no striker, but he just could, you know. He could just score goals for fun when he was up there. I don't know why we didn't play in there all the time.
You've totally went against the grain. Me and Ross were just discussing everyone that would come on IRB, McAllister, Stainrod, or Latapy, and you boys have just totally blown that out of the water with Houston and Kevin James.
Yeah, but there were others. I mean, Crawford Baptie was great to watch just because he was completely uncompromising. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many times he got sent off, but it was quite a few, right? Of course you love Crunchy. Crunchy was amazing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ever saw Crunchy take the ball and dribble towards the opposition, you always knew something was coming of it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think when he went to Hibs and he came back, he got better.
Yeah.
He was talking forward. The first time he was at Falkirk, he tended to dribble across. It was really frustrating. He would beat four men and he'd be no further forward because, in fact, he would dribble across the park. Once he'd been to Hibs, he came back and he was much more goal-orientated. And, yeah, he was amazing. But, yeah, I liked Kevin James.
I'll stick with you then, Paul. What's your favourite Falkirk game of all time?
Okay, then I would say that's the semi-final against Celtic when we went through. And I remember being behind the goals and I don't think we stopped singing for the whole of that second half. I mean, there was a constant chant going on.
That's
it
right.
Was thrilling, but it was so scary. I mean, you know, we were battered. We got absolutely battered that second half. Did they hit the post? I think they did.
Oh, yeah. Scott McKenzie hit the post. Yeah, I did both ends. Both ends he hit the post.
It was incredibly tense. And I mean, it was like sex at the end of the game, right? When you.
I mean, it was almost better than sex, Paul, really, wasn't it? So
I'm originally a psychologist from many, many years back. And, you know, sex is essentially the release of tension.
Is that 3 minutes in, is it?
Yeah.
I know. Listen, I don't last 90, Paul, but fair play to you, mate. Stuart, what about you?
Well, I mean, just on the game that Pablo mentioned there, I was working overseas at the time. I was in China, and I got my, this is before the internet really could do things like that. So I got my dad to put the phone up to the radio, and it cost me 200 quid to listen to that game. But I made it back for the final and nearly lost my job because my boss was a rugby man and wouldn't give me leave. But the favourite game that I was at has to be Celtic. Beating Celtic at Parkhead to stay in the Premier League in 87, I think it was. Sammy got the first one, Gilmore got the second one. They were given a penalty that never was. But, you know, it was a sparse crowd at Parkhead. But I was 16, and I remember it like yesterday. I don't remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember just every kick of that game.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, listen, guys, you guys are deeply involved, obviously, with the Falkirk Supporter Society. So people out there, I'm sure every bear knows about it, but just in case there isn't, what is the Falkirk Supporter Society and why did you guys set it up?
Right, I'll go first. Pablo, you come in and tell me what I've got wrong. It started off a couple of years ago where quite a few fans were sort of agitating for more fan involvement. The board was churning quite a few different people through it. It was happening at various other clubs as well. So we kind of came together and there was a lot of different ideas going around. And we settled on the idea that we needed a fans organisation that bought shares, that gave fans the opportunity to have a say in the club, to protect the club and to progress it in the park. That was basically the 3 P's principle that we developed. It's a very simple concept. We ask fans who can afford it and who agree with what we're trying to do to pay a minimum of a tenner a month. And we use that to buy shares that are kept in a central pot on behalf of all the members. We've got two directors on the board just now, Nigel Serafini and Doug Moody, who represent their interests. And that's, we got these, things actually happened in a bit of a roundabout way. We didn't expect to be getting directors until maybe this summer. But when there was that sudden turnover of directors in November last year, we got a phone call to say, right, we need two directors. So we said, not even launched yet, what do you mean? Hardly even got our own committee together. So we managed to find some directors, and we've now gone through the churn of having elections with our membership as well. So that's the basic offer. We didn't want to put too many bells and whistles and too many different sort of flags on it. We just wanted to tell fans, this is it, you're giving us money. We're buying shares that have been held on your behalf, but not in your name. It's a big central pot of shares that's growing every month so that we can do that, protect the club, promote the fans' interest and progress the club in the park. That's basically it.
Yeah. And how is the money getting used, or how has it been used so far?
I mean, as far as we know, it all goes into the central pot.
Yeah.
I mean, once we make share purchases, right? So it's up to the directors to decide how the money works. We can't tell them how to spend the money. Pablo, sorry, I got across you there.
No problem. I mean, I think the money has to go that way. I mean, we have people there who are on the board of directors or specialists. Some of them have actually very, extensive business and administrative abilities. There's accountants on there, and they're the ones who have to make the decision. Now, legally, they have to. The fiduciary position is that they have to look after the shareholders of the football club, and therefore we can't instruct them to do it. I often say this is like politics. I don't know if you've been involved in politics, local politics. If you have a councillor in your particular political party, you cannot instruct them how to vote, say, on planning. But you can, of course, guide them. You can tell them your views and what direction you'd like to go. So that's essentially what those fan directors do and how they should behave. If you don't like what they do, if you don't like the way they vote, then you replace them, and they should be made aware of that. I think what we have at the moment are two very good guys on there, in Doug and Nigel. They seem to be responsible for putting hours of work in, which is not possible for everybody. I mean, most people do 9-to-5 work jobs, come home and are exhausted. And you're asking people to put another 20 hours work into the club every week. So I think that's, it does restrict the sort of people who are going to be involved to some extent. But I think they're doing good work. And I think they also have knowledge. I mean, there's a debate about where we go with the pitch. The pitch is now a number of years old. It needs to be replaced. We're going to get 1 to 2 years out of it left. And, you know, the options are a hybrid pitch, a continuation of the sort of pitches that we have at the moment, I think the G4s, or grass. Now, that's not an easy question to solve. I mean, one's much, much more expensive than the others. Of course, almost everyone would love to play on grass, but there is a downside in going back to grass. I think you have to leave that for an internal decision-making. And we as fans can't demand one thing or another. You just have to have people do that.
Well, I mean, we're not, the thing is, we're not football. I mean, we're just supporters, and that, I guess, is up to the football and people to decide. You know, I mean, I guess there's definitely, like you say, Paul, pros and cons, isn't there, for both of them? Because obviously you can make money out of the, not having that. I'm guessing the obviously the events with the killers and what have you as well, I guess when you have grass, that makes it a little bit more difficult as well, where putting in bands and stuff on into the stadium.
I think high quality AstroTurf, or, you know, artificial pitches more accurately, are not that bad, right? And I think a lot of the people who complain about them, in my view, are just clutching at, looking for complaints when they get beat away from home.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think there are advantages and disadvantages in all of them. And I think you have to leave that for, you know, specialist knowledge.
I think John McGlynn, when he came in, said that he wanted the players to train largely on grass, so that the recovery time was better. Because I think, yeah, the pitch of the Falkirk Stadium, although better than many, it's still harsher on older legs. But that doesn't mean that, I'm not sure there's that much evidence to support suggestions that people suffer more injuries simply because of playing an Astro. But I think that it means that the various knocks that they have, if they're just training constantly on that, it's a little bit, it takes them a bit longer to get over. I think that's the argument that John made when he came in. So the team's training, you know, away from the stadium for at least part of the week now.
The irony being is we've obviously never had so many pre-season injuries and we've been training on grass. And I agree with you guys. I don't mind as long as there's a winning team on the pitch, to be honest. I think you're right, Stuart. I think if it's the recovery time and we were only training at the stadium, it might be that some of these players, like we've seen Cole Donaldson just come back, it might be if we were only at the stadium, he wouldn't be back as quick. So there's an argument there as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Paul.
At the end of the Brockpool area, I actually went and played an 11-side game on the pitch with a lot of the Falkirk supporters and people in the old Bairn Mail system.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I came off pretty crippled running on grass. That's probably due to the fact I was 40-odd at the time and a lot older now. And also Paul Hutton. I don't know if you know Paul Hutton.
He used to
be the fanzine editor as well, didn't he?
He went over the ball to take me out, right? It was a vicious tackle. Still haven't forgiven him 20 years later. So it's one of my nice memories of me and my son playing on the grass at Brockpool at the end of the...
Yeah, amazing. So can I just ask, what is the ultimate goal of the FSS?
The ultimate goal? Well, firstly, it's not up to us. I can tell you what our current objectives are, right? Right. Such of all the fans at large, how big they want this to be ultimately. So that's the first thing I'll say. At the moment, what we're trying to do is implement this balanced ownership model. Now, bear with us, this is boring, and that's part of the problem. The balanced ownership model is basically the club is split, or ownership of the club is split into three parts, effectively. So leaving room open for major shareholders, larger shareholders, which is the terminology we use now, which is guys who currently own a big chunk of the club and possible benevolent investors in the future. And we focus very much on the benevolent point, given some of the shysters who nearly got through the door in the last couple of years. Then you've got the medium-sized shareholders who are, at the moment, effectively the patrons group we're talking about. So that's 20-odd Falkirk fans like you and me, but who just had a spare 10 grand that they were able to put into the club and willing to do so. And I take my hat off to them, because that's a lot of money that they've put in. And so we work very closely in partnership with them. Then it's the smaller shareholders, FSS and all other smaller shareholders, effectively. Now, at the moment, it's not split into three even parts. You know, we as the smaller shareholders have got some catching up to do, but we're catching up quite rapidly. So it's to make sure that fans have the security of being able to keep the vultures at bay, being able to have a model that means that if we do need a sudden injection of cash, we can still go somewhere for it. And being able to ensure that the club is listening to the fans, because let's be honest, that's not happened a great deal over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And it's going to take quite a while to build up trust. So, that's to me the ultimate aim. So if you want me to put a number on it, it's 26% of the club.
Right. That's interesting. And how do people get involved with the FSS? We're going to talk, let's find out that before we get into the football.
Well, I mean, we've been very active in trying to use social media and the web to recruit people. We've handed out leaflets at games, and we have leaflets in most hospitality suites during the matches. And just generally trying to ask people, even if they've joined, to go and get a friend to sign up. We've sold 2,200 season tickets, which I think is pretty amazing given the season's last year. But we only have 475 people so far signed up to FSS. Now, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, it's £10 a month. That's, in a cost of living crisis, that's quite a lot to ask people. And I completely understand that not everybody can do that. But if you can, we'd ask people to do it because it's making a difference. We've now got 250,000 shares. We just passed that a few weeks ago, held communally amongst us in the club, which is, you know, increasing every month by around about £5,000, which is a 40p a share, 12,500, is that right? Shares every month. So it's going up every single month. The more people we get involved, the more shares we buy, the more say we'll have. And I think it's been relatively successful, and Stuart really was at the heart of starting this off. I came later, and he needs much of the credit for building this from pretty much nowhere. But it's going to be there for the long run. I mean, this isn't going to be, you know, like it was back in 1999, was it, when back the bands. I mean, we were in a crisis then, and we raised, I think, over £100,000 in 9 weeks. I was heavily involved in that at the time. It's much easier to raise money when the club's actually threatened with closure. You know, it's when things are tough and money's tight that it's hard to get money. But I think we'll manage to get there. We'll get over 500. We'd like to get over 500 soon. And then it's you know, ever onwards. After all, Morton have 800 members of their...
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, but... They raise about the same amount as we do, because they allow people to come in at bars bottles, to be honest. Plus the proposition is different in Morton and at Hearts and various other clubs. You know, when these fans groups were set up, they had the carrot at the end of actually taking over either the whole club or the stadium or something. We don't have that. And we're not starting in a crisis as well. The point that Paul makes is really, really important about starting in a crisis. Back the Bairns, back in the late 90s, you know, it was an example of the whole community coming together and rattling buckets and trying everything and, you know, a couple of guys maxing out credit cards just to give to the club. The big mistake was that we didn't get shares for fans then. We should have had that then.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, at the moment, we're trying to stave off a crisis for doing this. I mean, it's public information because the directors have put this out, the information evening and then in the messages. We're running to the same financial framework as last season, which ran at an 800-odd grand loss, okay? They think by an improved commercial performance, they can cut that to about a 400 grand loss. So how do we get the rest of the way? Well, we can't rely on cup runs, even though we're in the middle of one. Player sales, I think compared to previous seasons, they look unlikely. And that's investment. So, you know, I mean, FSS will hopefully bring in close to 100 grand this season, but where does the rest of the money come from? Yeah. So we need to, you know, we need to kind of very much focus on that to stave off the crisis, because we don't want to be rattling buckets. But it's also an opportunity now that the door's fully open for fans to come and invest to do so. Because that door will close again. You know, you'll get other investors that will come in who won't like it. That happened with Bairns Trust a decade or so ago. You know, it happens quite a lot. And, you know, if we don't take this opportunity, we'll rue it.
Absolutely. And where can we get in touch with you guys? Is there an email? Is there, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys if people want to get involved?
Yeah, there's the website. It's falkirksupporters.org, which is on the screen below you just now.
Yeah, we'll put that in the episode description so you can get involved in that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. But we're also got an active Facebook and Twitter page as well. And we're also looking at taking the old booth in the main stand at the stadium to have a sort of live presence there as well. Right. I mean, there's 9 or 10 of us in the committee. And we're trying. Lots of people have got lots of really good ideas for this, which is great. And we welcome these ideas and we want them to keep coming. But we'd also welcome people putting their hands up with these ideas to come and actually do something with us as well, because it's hard work.
Yeah, well, we're big supporters here at Falkirk Daft, Stuart and Paul. Hopefully we can rally the troops and get people signed up as well throughout this podcast. But let's talk about the football now, will we? Let's start off. We're going to have a kind of general overview of pre-season. I want to speak about the John McGlynn night a bit that you guys had last week as well, a bit later on. But let's talk closer to home. Falkirk 1, Clyde 0 there at the weekend. Ross, Wayne, what did you make of the game?
Do you know, the result was the biggest thing for me. I'm glad we won, because obviously it meant we topped the group and we get through to the draw, which we now know we've got Dundee up at Dens. So it was important financially. But do you know, it's not, I know it's not, everything's not just about the money. From our perspective, we go along wanting to win games. We won the game. Did we play the best we could play? Probably not. Clyde are always quite stuffy. They were again on Saturday. It was great to see a few of the older players from last year raising their game. McGuffey's strike was superb. Hetherington and Mackay, they look like different players than they were last year. It shows you what a bit of confidence from the manager and the coaching staff have done as well. But cracking free kick, I thought it was fantastic. We didn't lose a goal again, so no, happy days.
Yeah, we were talking about this when we were sat at the game, Stuart and Paul. When was the last time Falkirk scored 2 free kicks in 1 week? John Clark, that's the only one I can think of. It's probably back to John Clark either. That's the only way I can think about it. If you know, please get in touch with the podcast. We'd love to know the answer.
Peter Heatherton against Aberdeen? That's the 80s again, isn't it? Did he not do 2 free kicks against Aberdeen the same night?
I think you might be right. Yeah, yeah. And did John Clark not actually score a couple against Kelly one night as well?
I've got a John Clark. I reckon John Clark, but there might be another time we've scored 2 free kicks goes away. But anyway, that is beside the point. Stuart, what do you make
against England?
Yeah. Stuart, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it can hurt the eyes at times, isn't it? But you know, we were solid. We controlled much of the game. Road of luck when they hit the post, in fairness, and they, you know, there's a couple of doozies. I think that's been a bit of a theme. You know, we deserve to win the group, there's no doubt about it, but let's not get carried away. There was still some sort of last season moments in there, especially against sort of Bonnyrigg. Sorry if I'm sort of rewinding a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, towards the end of the game, we could have scored a barrel load against Clyde. Some shining lights. I'm going to mention Finn Yates again, not just because his hair colour, but just because he looks like a player. McGinn looks an assured presence in the middle of the park. We didn't see enough of Alegria yet, obviously, but he looks nippy. So hopefully he's going to be the answer, you know, to all the prayers, an actual striker. But yeah, the story does seem to be the tune that John McGlynn and Paul Smith's getting out of last season's players, who were much derided. In fairness, but you know, Brad Mackay, who took an awful lot of stick from Falkirk fans last season, he's playing really well. He's a different player.
The Kaiser.
Yeah, exactly. Leon McCann as well. You know, hardly saw anything of him last season. So belting up and down the left wing now. So I think that's what we want. We want a coach. We want a coach that can coach players. No, hardly any manager gets to come in and completely pick his own squad and start from scratch. So the fact that he's came in with a squad that didn't achieve much last season, or actually were poor last season, and seems to be, on the basis of early evidence, improving it, great. I'll take that right now.
Stuart, I think that's a great shout-out about McCann as well. He didn't play, well, he played a little bit towards the start of last season, and then by the end of it, he was he wasn't getting a game because we were playing a left midfielder at left back. So it showed you kind of where he was, but he's been fantastic every single minute. He came in at centre half against Bonnyrigg. Actually, felt sorry for him that he was dropped on Saturday. However, obviously with the Henderson situation, Mackie looks almost like a proper centre half anyway. And then you had McCann bombing up and down that wing. So, no, happy days so far.
Ethan Tadpole.
Well, it's hard to add to all that because all of it is correct. What I would say is, just from looking at the injuries we've had and the fact that he's had to have a makeshift back four and even changing halfway through the match on Saturday when he decided that Mr. Donaldson had to come off, right, just because he hadn't played enough games, does suggest that he's got the Midas touch when it comes to, you know, getting the best out of players. I mean, we've looked so much more solid this year than we have already in these three games. I mean, last year, look at the number of times it'd be nothing each and they would come up the park and score in the last few minutes. Yeah. And we looked nervous every time there was an attack against it. There's no panic there. I don't think there's the panic that there was last year. The number of times a boy would get the ball and he would just run across the outside of the box and then slot one in from a corner because we just weren't defending properly. I think that's all gone. So I think McGlynn has proved already he's the manager we've been waiting for. Yeah. I mean, I personally liked Rennie and I thought he was a nice enough guy, but he's getting more out of the same players, I think. And he's also picked, I mean, he's already, I think, in Yates, he's actually got a great new finding there. That boy from Aberdeen, the young boy from Aberdeen, is looking really comfortable in midfield. I thought he was actually the player of the match on Saturday.
Yeah, really? Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, what I would, my assessment from obviously going out there, McGlynn obviously likes a big defence. When you looked along that back four on Saturday, especially when Sean Mackie was, you know, at left back, and then you had Williamson and Mackay and Donaldson, if you had that, I mean, he likes a big back four. And, you know, and that obviously has been our defence, like you say, Paul, has been an absolute issue for a couple of years going now. And I have to say, I've been really impressed by Sean Mackie. Obviously, Cole Donaldson didn't look match fit, but, you know, he's a big lad and there'll definitely be something there. And when Henderson and then you've got Watson to come back in. So certainly it looks like he's going to build the defence first. And midfield as well, you mentioned Hetherington looks like, alongside McGinn, looks like a different player from last season. Now, Ross, you were saying that Hetherington, when he was signed, he wasn't signed as a player we saw last season.
Yeah, one of the guys that I know was talking to him at the recognition dinner at the end of last season. And obviously that couldn't have been a comfortable night for the players. But I think Hetherington was really honest. He said, look, he was signed based on his performances at Alloa, which was a sort of mopping up balls, getting tackles in. And then when Rennie signed him, Sheeran signed him, it was on the basis of, right, we need you to go and spray some passes. That just wasn't his game. So I think the fact that he's now got another sort of solid player in beside him, it's working wonders. Do I think he'll be in there all season? I don't know. I think Yates and McGinn might be that midfield pairing. But do you know what? He's given himself a brilliant chance of starting games. He really has.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all agree that we're kind of lacking up front. I mean, Stuart, you mentioned Alegria, who I just think sounds like a Vauxhall car, the Vauxhall Alegria. So my nickname for him is Vauxhall from here on going forward. We look a bit short. I mean, I think Gary Oliver in there, we've got a player who is more of a 10 than a 9, if you know what I mean. He does a bit of work, he holds up the ball well, brings people into play, but it looks like, I mean, when you certainly look at the pre-season results, maybe a couple of closed doors games aside, but it's been one goal, one goal, one goal. So I think we all can see where the problems are. I'm assuming everyone agrees with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was an Austin Allegro, by the way.
Allegria, is it Allegria? I'm thinking, this is a new car, Stuart. The Vauxhall Allegria, is this a brand new car?
Right, there you go. Sorry, I went to my mum and dad. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a line going about that, you know, strikers don't grow on trees. There's just not many of them out there just now. So You just have to live with that. But I think, you know, John's still working in the market. He's not going to sign someone just to fill a jersey, because you know, we don't have that much money, as we've already identified. So he's got to be careful with it. The young Allegri comes with good recommendations from the club and from others, not so much from Partick fans, we've seen, in fairness, but I think he only played a few games there. But he, you know, if you look at, there's something online, there's a YouTube video of the goals that he scored for Colombia under-19s or whatever it was, and he does look like he can do it. So, you know, he's going to get a chance with us. And I think you're right about Gary Oliver. But remember, we didn't sign him for to be a 9 or a 10 or any other number. He scores against Dunfermline.
Right,
so he's like a kicker that you bring on in American football. Just play him against Dunfermline, score against Dunfermline, that's all I care.
We'd be happy with that, wouldn't we? We'd be happy with that.
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, I've seen a little bit of criticism of the referee on Saturday. One or two decisions questionable. I don't think I didn't. There was a big shout out from the south stand. I don't know if any of you guys were in the south stand, but there's a couple of big shouts from the south stand, certainly around the potential McGinn penalty and the one that the keeper had. I can't remember. Was it on Gary Oliver? The keeper went through.
I think so.
He was mostly okay on Saturday. I didn't have any major gripes with him. I mean, I think it's easy to always react. I mean, yes, that could have been a penalty. I'd wanted to see it from behind the goals to see whether he crossed the line or not. I think it was a booking, right? But I don't think that was the worst referee by any means we've faced. And we've seen some really bad ones this year. Or last year, rather.
My only criticism, excuse me, of the ref on Saturday was he wasn't letting the game flow. He was continually bringing the ball back, not just for us, but for Clyde as well. And that's sort of marking a pet peeve. Let the game go. It's not all about the ref. Just let the game play, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Great free kick from Craig McGuffey, like we said. Do you think he'll be on the free kicks? I mean, obviously you've got Morrison in there, Nesbitt when he comes back. McGuffey, do you think he puts a claim now down as a marker? I mean, does he keep his place in the side when Nesbitt returns?
I think it's nice that we've got all these creative options, right? I mean, we never said that last year because they just didn't perform. But, you know, you've just said it there. Morrison can fire in a free kick. Nesbitt can fire in a free kick. So can McGuffey. So we've got these options. We've got we also look like we've got competition, especially across the midfield. So that's got to be a good thing, that they're all going to be fighting. But we've also got different types of players. I think it's something that John McGlynn said last week, that given you've got more strength in the spine and at the back of the team, that these sort of smaller, more creative players, they're more confident to play their natural game than they maybe were last season. So that's the theory at the moment. And I think we're starting to see some straws in the wind that's happening.
Yeah. I've got to put a shout out to the best shout I heard in the stands at the week was when Allegri had the ball and he someone says play a 1-2, which I thought was very good.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good, decent manner. We had we were arguing about this as well on Saturday. I think I think it's definitely the case that is Falkirk's first South American signing. And that is a question. I don't think there's been Ross, you said that Pele, remember Big Pele that we got, the centre half, but he turned out, he's Portuguese, I believe.
Turns out he's Portuguese, yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that is Falkirk's first South American signing, Big Allegri. There you go.
Yeah, I kind of think, isn't it?
Someone will disprove it. Someone will tweet and disprove this, but I'm pretty sure that is. Talking about Twitter, remember, get involved at Falkirk Daft on Twitter. Leave your comments, and here are a few comments from the game on Saturday. Graham says, not a great advert for the game, and Williamson was shocking today. I thought he was okay. Barnes one great pass that put Morrison through on goal. He was a liability. Arguably, could have had a second goal if Legge wasn't tackled by the 18-yard box. Remember that one. Wilson is not good enough. Good result, though. I thought Jamie Wilson did all right when he came on, you know.
I think it's all down to confidence, and I think this is what this starting to build in this team. I mean, Morrison's not been the same since his injury, and he's come back.
Yeah.
Making maybe not the right decision when he's thrown goal sometimes. I mean, you know, all strikers can be, you know, selfish and everything else, but there have been times when he should have squared the ball when he's shot, when he's got a very, very narrow angle with the goalkeeper advancing on him. I think it may well be the same. Jamie Wilson, well, I mean, I want him to succeed. I really, in my heart, want that guy to succeed. He seems a very nice guy. He tries very hard. He's improved of late, but I don't know if he's got the confidence to score. But maybe McLean can get something out of him. I mean, I would just love to see it, actually. But, I mean, I'm not absolutely sure it will happen.
Do you think Jamie Wilson's going to go the full season without a goal, Paul? Is that what you're saying?
I hope not.
No, hope not. I hope not. But
honestly, I mean, I would celebrate the man. I mean,
Let me make a shout out for Jamie. I sat next to him at that event at the end of last season that Ross spoke about, and he's an absolutely lovely guy, completely level-headed, utterly honest about how last season was. Right? I mean, the way he spoke about last season, it could have been one of us talking about it. So there was no airs and graces, no qualms about explaining about it as well. But another thing that Falkirk fans say they want is that players that will bust a gut, doesn't matter how good they are. And there's a player that busts a gut for the team. You know, all right, I get, you know, I'm not going to slag him off here because I quite like the guy. And I really, as Pablo says, in my heart of hearts, I really want him to succeed.
I would agree with that. He put himself about when he came on. And actually, Pablo, you mentioned about confidence. He actually, that's the advantage of where we're sitting now versus where we normally sat in the South Stand. You actually heard McGlynn not coaching him through, but keeping, remind him, like, as in, right, get up there, keep going, push yourself on. And he was doing that for the duration of time that he was on. And Jamie, he put himself about. He didn't shirk out of tackles. Is he going to be the best footballer ever for us? Probably not. But then, John, we talked about on Saturday, like somebody like John Baird wasn't the best football player ever. He put a pull a Falkirk shirt on, but you'd have him in your team every time.
Yogi was going out the door at Falkirk before he was put into a different position, right? You know, I remember when he signed and he was playing up front. Was it 1991, was it? And then he was tried out at different positions and then he became a club legend. You know, I mean, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen with Jamie, but, you know, give Falkirk a chance, you know?
Thing is, though, are they not looking at him, or they had looked at him as a sort of right wing back for a couple
of years?
They
played him there at the end of last season, I know. Yeah. Crazy. Well, maybe in years to come, when we ask someone, who's your favourite Falkirk player of all time, someone will come on this podcast and say, Jamie Wilson, who knows? Angela has got a touch, not the prettiest, but a win's a win. Individual mistakes would have cost us in the past. Ever hopeful for the season ahead? Good assessment. Graham Ross, group winners without being gifted, a 3-0 win against the top seeds. Today wasn't great. Still don't see where regular goals will come from, but again, a win is a win. Gavin, absolutely crying out for at least one striker. Yeah, we've said that. If not two, defence excellent, but need to replace Williamson. Another Williamson hater there. Otherwise, a million times better than last season. Williamson, am I seeing a difference? I thought Williamson was all right on Saturday.
I like him when he's alongside Morrison on the overlap, and the two of them seem to have a good dynamic where they can go past.
Yeah.
When you see Morrison switch to the middle of the other side, I think he's a bit more exposed on his own. He wasn't terrible on Saturday. I don't think he was at all. I thought he...
As we were, Ross says, the one thing about Williamson right now, this is terrible to say, but it doesn't really look like a footballer, right? If you know what I mean. It doesn't look like a right back. It doesn't look like a footballer. As Ross says, he looks more like a PE teacher. but I don't know if that... But, you know, I thought he was all right on Saturday.
Crawford Baptie didn't look like a footballer.
This is true. True.
He seems, I mean, every year, one player, or it was about eight or nine players last season, in fairness, one player's it. And, you know, I think Williamson needs to put in a couple of solid performances, otherwise he might be it. So
You've just triggered me, because Gregor Abel was my PE teacher back in the day.
That's fine, Paul. That's perfectly acceptable.
The bastard sending me out right on a cross country run around the back of the school and on a really miserable wet day while he stayed in drinking coffee. So I've never forgiven him for that.
Craig says poor game with an even poorer ref, but we'll take the win. Drew, pretty poor on the day and a lot to worry about in terms of attack and goals. It seems to be a constant thread, this one. Defensively solid again, another win to round off a good campaign, still a positive start to the season. Talk about positive start. I mean, let's talk about the start we have had this season. You know, looking back at the games, obviously with the friendly against Kilmarnock to open the Kevin McAllister stand, we played all right in that game. I thought the one thing, and this is what I saw in the change from the Kilmarnock game, we obviously looked terrible at corners. We lost all our goals pretty much from corners against Kilmarnock. But it seems to, whenever I've had a corner, there's not been the danger that, whether Kilmarnock were just really drilled at corners, but it seems to have sorted that out.
Well, Kilmarnock were monsters as well, remember. They're all huge, they're all about 8 foot tall. I mean, that, you know, that shouldn't be allowed. There should be a height limit, I think, in footballers. But especially when they're playing against very small defenders in Falkirk strips. But yeah, I mean, 60 minutes of the game, we played really well against Kilmarnock. And remember, we're our own worst critics. We won that group comfortably, right? We rode our luck in different parts of the games, but every team rides its luck in most games, right? Most teams score in most games as well. So by only scoring a goal at a time, and we're showing that we're defending very well as well. And we knew our defence was awful last season. So, you know, these are the sort of positives I'm taking. Equally, I'm thinking almost exactly a year ago, or maybe 11 months ago, we were feeling pretty positive then as well. So, you know, while I think we do have grounds for optimism, I don't think any Falkirk fans getting carried away until we're at least a quarter of the way into the league season.
Yeah.
There's an entire month and a week left to sign loan players. Now, it appears that most of the large clubs are not letting their players go until they've got settled squads. They haven't started their season because with so many teams not taking part in the League Cup, and those that are taking part often using it for pre-season, we're probably 2-3 weeks away before anyone becomes available to the likes of Falkirk to actually sign up. So I'm hoping and I'm assuming that our current management team have people in mind, and let's just hope that they do. It's obvious that we do need at least one striker, maybe two. Kenneth going back to Rangers as well because he picked up a hernia problem in the Aberdeen game hasn't helped either. I mean, that was another option going forward. We're immediately sending someone back that would have been quite useful for us.
I think he's going to be a good signing when he is back as well. So that's going to be another good option.
Definitely. A lot of Rangers supporters I've spoke to have got high hopes for him. Paul says it wasn't a great spectator. However, roll back a few months and there's not a chance we'd have won that a game like that. It's very true. Very resilient performance, which is something we've really lacked. And rounding us off is Gavin McGill, who says, I'll take 36 1-0 wins in the league. Absolutely. Now, I'm going to ask this question every week, just looking at the Clyde game. Who was, for you, the Falkirk Daft rated player of the match, Ross?
I'm going to go with Yates. I thought he was fantastic. I know McGinn got man of the match, but...
Here's the gingers coming out again.
But no, I thought Wee Yates was fantastic. Do you know, he doesn't shirk a challenge. He's looking to spray the ball about the park. He drives forward, and he's obviously got ginger hair, so no, all good.
There's no point even asking Stuart this, is it? But I'll ask him anyway.
Yates, ginger,
Gingers unite. Come on, Paul, give me someone different.
I'm just going to go for Yates as well.
For goodness sake.
No, but I mean, the guy was taking all the corners and they were much more dangerous.
I have to say, that is one thing. His delivery looks fantastic from a corner. We always looked like dangerous from a corner. I'm going to throw Steve McGinn. I think Steve McGinn throughout the pre-season has been... that's the player we've been crying out for a long time. Experienced midfield. You can see the improvements in Harrington. He's obviously carrying Yates through the game, talking Yates through the game as well. So Stephen McGinn for me, but there we go. Right, this is the harder question. Falkirk Dafty from Saturday. Who is the Falkirk Dafty? Ross. You're going to see the PE teacher, aren't you?
Do you know...
Poor old Ryan.
Do you know, probably. Yeah, probably.
Poor old Ryan.
Probably. Do you know... He didn't do a massive amount wrong. I think there was spells last year when he set himself up as a I thought properly we've got another right back in the sort of Kieran Duffy mould who can get forward, they're going to hit the wing, they're going to defend properly. I think in the game so far, and I'm thinking I've got the Bonnie Rigg game in my head as well, defensively he just looks a wee bit suspect. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or it's, I know he was injured or had COVID, I don't know if he's fully there yet, but for me, yeah, probably out of everyone, probably Williamson.
Right, Stuart, go for it. Are you going to agree with your fellow ginger brethren?
Yeah, I hate doing this. Rather than, you know, talk about a player who I thought had the poorest game, I'm going to say that Allegri's little trip up in the box was a Falkirk Dafty moment. But he never. I don't think he was bad when he came on, but that was one of these face palm moments.
Ross said during that time, you know how Morelos is called El Buffalo. What are you going to call him, Ross? If he turns out to be a diddy, what are you calling him?
I'm hoping he's going to be brilliant, but if he's not great, we've obviously got, what is it, El Buffalo Rangers, El Guffalo. I'm hoping that's not going to be the case. But listen, I like Pablo, I'm hoping this guy scores a barrel load for us. I really, really do.
Right, Paul, what you got? Falkirk Dafty of the week.
I didn't think anyone was absolutely terrible, and I wouldn't be. And also, I'm a general optimist and positive person. I would like PJ to command his area a bit more at times. And at the end, there was almost a hellish mix-up when he was getting told to come out for the ball and decided not to. And I think he actually made the right decision ultimately. But that could have been a really, really expensive mistake to make.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good shot stopper. I'd just like him to be a bit more commanding when the ball's coming in from crosses.
I'm going to nominate for my Falkirk Dafty the pie hall, pie huts, because they ran out of pies and I was absolutely starving. There was big queues and I thought, oh, I'll leave it till just after halftime. Went back, no pies left, gutted. I was absolutely starving. And then I went straight to a wedding, so I didn't even get anything in detail. But 10 o'clock.
Where was John, remind us, where was the wedding again?
The wedding was at East End Park, yes. The wedding was at East End Park. And yes, I did take a Sharpie with the idea that I would actually remove one of the frames and write Mon the Bairns behind it. However, I shat it.
So is that a wedding at East End Park? So I think it was a family affair.
Well, I actually wrote in the book, well, when I sent my gift, I said, congratulations on the nuptials. You're the first person from the family not to marry his own cousin. Well done, you. But yeah, I shat it and I didn't Sharpie anything. So
anyway, more importantly on the subject of pies, right? I hear we're getting kebab pies at
Kebab. I can confirm the rumour, Paul, there are kebab pies at the stadium and they're getting a very good write-up from fellow Bairns around me.
Tell me, I was at the match on that night and I never actually bought a kebab pie. I mean, this is going to be the end of me, by the way. I've already had one bypass, right? My second one's due in about a season's time. After
that. So there's your Falkirk Dafties for the week. Before we kind of leave this, guys, I obviously had the night with John McGlynn last week. What kind of guy is he? What did he say about the job he's here to do? And you know, how did he assess pre-season?
I've now met him twice, right? And this is rich coming for me because I'm getting old now. But he comes across as a wise old grandfather. He's very likable. And I think one of the things he said before we talk about the way he develops tactics was that he takes man management very seriously. He talked about how he was, you know, taking an interest, for example, in Brad Mackay and his new child and the fact his wife had given birth. And I think that's so important in modern football. We can't bully players anymore. You know, I mean, the days of sending a player off to train with the youngsters, I think, is long gone. And people just won't accept it. I mean, you know, and you, I don't know where you guys work, but if you go into your work, you can't bully people who are much younger than you anymore. And quite rightly so, it's just the wrong way of doing things. And I get the impression that we have a manager who cares and involves himself with people. And that might well be one of the reasons why he's getting more out of it. I mean, I was told that the dressing room was a bit cold towards Rennie last year. I don't think we should go too much into that. But, you know, if you do lose the dressing room, you lose the team and they give up. The rest of that presentation, I was absolutely gobsmacked at. I don't think, we didn't know he was going to do this, but he showed us all the preparation he did for the Hibs game. And it was incredibly complicated. I mean, the formations were dynamic and, you know, it wasn't a standard, you know, just 4-3-3. He showed you how they were expected to move at corners or when the Hibs got the ball or whatever. I actually remember thinking, Christ, footballers remember all this stuff? I mean, I used to write the programme on, footballers are okay, but they're never the brightest, if I'm going to be honest, right? And I really did think it was pretty complicated. It was astonishing. It was an hour.
It was an excellent presentation.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And I really warmed him. I think the thing about tactics, it was complex but not complicated, I think. Because he said himself, you know, we have to present this in a way that players can remember it without getting confused. I think one of the criticisms of the first half of last season was that players weren't allowed much dynamism. You know, everything had to be done a certain way and that was it. Listen, I'm not being self-deprecating for the sake of it. I don't understand anything about football. I've never played the game to any level. I'm just a Falkirk fan or a tribalist. That's all I'm interested in. So he explained it in a way that I could understand. And then in the game on Saturday, despite having a few pints and cheers before the game, I could actually see, and there's an overload now. And, you know, I could understand it. But as Pablo said, the man management thing, the kind of the ethos, if you like, the emotional side of it, he brought across quite well. And he, for a man who's clearly an introvert, he was very passionate as well. But, you know, as well know, I mean, I manage people at work. You can't just tell them what to do and hope they're going to do it. You've got to understand that, you know, they might be having a bad day, they might have a hangover, they might be looking forward to their holiday, they might split up with their husband or wife. You know, so you need to see the bigger picture of the person. And these guys who were here last season and had a terrible season and knew they had a terrible season because the fans told them they had a terrible season, you're not going to get a tune out of them by being rough with them, you know? So he's trying to build them. Now, whether it works or not, who knows? But ultimately, he's given it his best shot using all the years of experience that he's got. And let's not just reduce him, I think, to being an old head who knows how to get out of the division. That's a bit of a cliche, I think. Listening to him talking about all the various influences that he's had in his career, talking about his time, not just as a manager, as a coach, you know, he's mentioned Jim Jeffries. He said that the years that he spent at Celtic as the chief scout and he learned most off Brendan Rodgers. That to me says a lot, that he's still talking about learning all the time. So there's a lot more to it than an experienced coach who knows how to get us out of the division. That was my impression, at least.
I mean, one thing I've taken away from the pre-season is the shape of the team. I think that is something in recent seasons we've not had. You can't see the shape. You don't know how. It doesn't look like the players know the shape. And every time I've seen them this season, I've just went, right, that they know what they're doing there. You can see the shape of the team and in defence and in offence as well. I think that's been a big difference for me. I don't know if anyone else has seen that.
Well, I don't know. I wonder what sort of setup he's going to have if we get a striker, because it's at the moment to not, you know, let too many goals in and allow us to advance down the wings. Mostly, I would say we've got nothing very much through the middle.
Yeah.
Yet now that may come. I mean, it strikes me Oliver reminds me of John Baird without the goals. I mean, he's very good at holding the ball up. I'll give him that. And there were a couple of occasions where his work rate got us good chances, you know, in this game and in others. So, yeah, I mean, you can see there's a better structure to the team, right? I think we've got reasons to be optimistic. Can I just say, though, I mean, this meeting last week, I think, was excellent. And anyone who came to it would have gone away impressed and feeling a lot more optimistic. And I like to think we're going to do more of these sort of meetings. FSS is about raising the money primarily and getting us a say in the club. But we actually need a body that has, you know, interactions with the club and educates, right, as well. I'd like us to have other meetings. I'd like to, you know, to let's get the women's coach and a women's player along and have a meeting on that. I don't get to come to the women's meetings. I live 60 miles away from Falkirk, so going to see the women's matches isn't really very feasible to me, but I'd love to know more about them and build that. And I think, you know, in this day and age, it's a good way of getting women into the football, right? And just generally, I would like to see us do more of this sort of stuff. And I think we will. I think, you know, you can expect other meetings. Also gives people something, you know, for their money. I mean, they're giving £10 a month, you know. There's something to be said for actually having these public meetings where people can come along and meet the players, meet, you know, people behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's just that extra bit of kudos for being able to kind of help out, isn't it? It's brilliant.
I mean, that's, we've said that over the years, though, that, again, going back to the point about communication with the club, it's been poor historically. I'm not sort of blaming any particular board. I think it improved under the last board quite a lot, actually. But prior to that, it was pretty awful. And I think it's improving still further now. And I think it's our job to help with that. I mean, okay, we had the McGlynn meeting there in the week. We had five previous meetings where we had the manager along, a couple, and directors, you know, sitting in pubs with only 20 or 30 people, you know, buses, supporters buses, guys, and just answering all the questions. Now, if there's a desire for that, we'll do it. We're looking at trying to do a pre-party, a particular away game in September. And I'll not announce it yet because we're not...
I wonder what game that could be.
I mean, I think we've got the whole pub, but, you know, if we can do that and have a pre-party there, maybe get Steely's band along to sing, that'll be quite good. So, you know, stuff like that. If fans want it, we'll try and do it.
We'll try
and organise it, you know, because that's, you know, ultimately that's what we're here to do. And, you know, as I say, we're approaching 500 members now, which I think is very good. So, you know, the club have to listen to us, other organisations have to listen to us, and we've got to listen to our members.
Good to hear. So Dundee next then, boys. Wait, is that the draw you... I mean, we were talking about this as well. I think I would have wanted either one of the big teams away or someone beatable at home. If we had Dundee at home, I'd be a bit happier. But what do you make of the draw, Paul?
I think it's about the worst one we could have had, actually.
Yeah.
Money in. They're probably better than us, let's be honest. They've topped their group. They scored a few number of goals in that time as well. I think we're going to have to be at our best to beat them. I think they are beatable. And, you know, if we can be solid at the back, then there's always that chance. But I would have much rather been going away to Rangers or Celtic and getting the money, because the club needs that, and the kudos and the fun that always brings. Or, you know, let's have Annan at home. Right.
Yeah. Ross, you wanted Hearts away, didn't you?
Yeah, that was probably a bit nostalgic from kind of previous trips to Tynecastle and stuff. I made a bit of an arse of myself on Twitter as well, actually, because prior to the draw, I said, let's get anyone bar Dundee away. And that's exactly how. And then before I knew it, I had loads of Dundee fans tweeting me saying, hi, Ross, hiya, pal. So that wasn't great yesterday. However, do you know what? I've not got a lot of time for Dundee. I'd love to go up there and beat them. The time that I've not got for them has obviously been born out of loads of stuff that's went on the last sort of 25 years. But could it have been better? Yeah, so Annan at home, or do you know? But it's a cup tie. You never know. We'll take a big crowd up there. Let's have a go at them. Let's have a go.
Fancy our chances, Stuart?
Yeah, of course I do. I fancy our chances against anyone from what I've seen so far. If teams can't score against us, then, you know, we're in with a shout. So as long as we can, you know, keep the back door shut, you never know. So, yeah, I'd give us a chance, and then we can keep the Old Firm for later on in the competition.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Stuart, Paul, thank you so much for coming on the first ever Falkirk Daft. Thanks for your input. If you want to join the Falkirk Supporters Society, check out the description on the podcast and on YouTube, and you can get signed up, get involved with the boys, give the money, get behind the club, hopefully get more shares and get to that 26%. Brilliant, boys. Thanks very much. If you want to be a pundit on the show, like Stuart or Paul, you can do that. Just drop us a DM on Twitter or messages on Facebook. We'll get you on throughout the season and get your input into Falkirk Daft, because that's what it's all about. Guys, thanks again.
Cheers, guys. The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So every week on Falkirk Daft, we thought it'd be interesting to look at our opponents. So we're going to speak to various people involved, fanzine, podcasts, just general supporters of our opponents. And our first game this season is against Montrose. Now, obviously, last season was an absolute horror show against them. 2-2 draw, 1-0 defeat, 2-1 defeat, 3-0 defeat. Absolute nightmare. So I'm even dreading getting this guy onto the podcast. He's my former flatmate, but also happens to be involved with the Larter's Tash, the Montrose fanzine. He's just got internet up there, actually, so this is a brand new thing for him as he switches on Zoom for the first time. He's on dial-up, so we might lose him, however. It is Mark Ray. How you doing, Mark?
Doing good, thanks, John. Nice to meet you as well, Ross.
Cheers, Mark. You too.
Right, okay, let's get into it. Because you say, and you like Mark all last season, Falkirk are the worst full-time side I've ever seen. I can't blame you. I have to say, we are the worst full-time side in Scotland. And I can't really argue against you, Mark.
I've been saying it for 3 years, to be fair. I think I was ahead of the curve on that one. Like, Falkirk have genuinely been the worst full-time football team I've ever seen. For a while, it was Raith Rovers, then it was Partick, but you have streaked miles ahead in that department.
We've done all right. But, I mean, Montrose, I mean, what a season you guys had last season. I mean, obviously, looking at what I've just reeled off, the results against us for a start.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really class as big fixtures anymore, to be fair. Brilliant. I mean, we look at the Airdrie's and the Queen's Parks and the Cove Rangers as the big games nowadays. But I mean, against we did you clubs like Falkirk, I think we did all right. And
brilliant.
John, how do we...
Mark, you're breaking up there in Montrose. But how was your pre-season going, Mark? Let's just talk about Montrose's pre-season. How's it been going for you so far this season?
Well, we don't really get much of a pre-season because of the League Cup starting before the...
We'll classify that as pre-season.
All right, in that case, no great.
No, exactly.
That's a shame.
What a shame. What have you made of Montrose's kind of start then?
We're always really, really shaky at the start of the season. Part of the problem for Montrose is obviously they're a part-time team and they tend to get 3 or 4 boys in on loan from the full-time teams quite early in the season, but the full-time teams tend not to send us those players until they're out of the League Cup or they've at least got a wee bit further in the League Cup because they don't want their players cup-tied. So we're probably 3 or 4 players short of where we will be, certainly by September, I would think. There's no new faces in. Blair Lyons has signed full-time, signed for us on a contract, having been on loan last season from Partick. But apart from that, we have no new faces in at the moment. So, I mean, the squad is looking a wee bit tired. We've lost Cammy Ballantyne. He's away at Airdrie. All the loan players from last season have gone back to their parent clubs. Alan Fleming has moved on. So, yeah, I mean, we're 2 of our own players down. We've lost Cammy F. Ballantyne. We've lost Lyle Cameron, who's both gone back to their parent clubs. We're desperately need of a striker. All our goals at the moment are coming from the wings, Blair Lyons and Graham Webster, with occasional chip-ins from Craig Johnston. But we're missing a goal scorer, we're missing a right back, and we're quite an old team in most other places in the park. We've got Sean Dillon at centre back.
Jesus, why are you just Sean Dillon now?
44.
I think Sean Dillon must be 37, 38.
37, buddy.
Must be about that. And Garden's not that far behind him. So, I mean, we do have quite a few older boys. So, I mean, there's no case in the middle of the park.
Two strong defenders there, though, Mark. Two strong defenders, though, aren't they, in their day as well?
Yeah, I mean, Sean Dillon has still got it. You can see, I mean, in terms of reading the game, he's still a great centre-back. It's just the legs aren't there anymore to the same extent. But, I mean, we have younger centre-backs beside him in Aidan Quinn and Kerr Waddle, who are both young, really good centre-backs. Kerr Waddle on his day is probably our best player, to be fair. So we do have a few younger legs around about him, but yeah, we could probably do with a few more younger boys that can take the weight off the older guys, especially in the middle of the park, I would say.
So who are the players that are going to cause problems for Falkirk?
Oh, most of them.
For fuck's
sake. Blair Lyons is a really tricky winner. I mean, he got a hat-trick in the first League Cup match, fair enough, it was against Fraserburgh, but he was full-time with Partick for the last couple of seasons, having come through at us in the first place.
Yeah, do you know, Mark, I was going to ask, obviously I know your perception of Falkirk has obviously not been great with the last 2 or 3 years, quite rightly, because we've been absolutely horrific. you may or may not have seen, obviously, the results or the performances that, that we've had so far. Joking aside, do you think you're sort of going to be facing a different entity now with Falkirk, I suppose, on Saturday?
Oh, I mean, if I believe what John tells me in the group chats, and Falkirk going to romp this league, and we're not even within touching distance. I suppose, from an outsider's point of view, Falkirk surely can't be any worse than they have been, certainly last season and the season before that. You were absolutely atrocious going forwards at Lions Park, and they were going to score a goal. And going forwards, I didn't think you were in any great shape either for the amount of money you were spending on strikers and creative midfielders. You just looked abysmal. John has been trying to convince me that you're better drilled this season. I don't think you can be any worse. But then, if you get a couple of scuddings off the Fifers, then that'll probably set you back a bit.
That's not going to happen.
Hopefully not. Stuart Pizzi's done a fantastic job at Montrose. Absolutely no denying that. Why do you think he's not moved on? I believe he's got a really good job. Is that the case?
Yeah, he's got a really good job outside football. He's got a job for life at Montrose. I mean, when he took over, it was the 2015-2016 season that he took over. So he's now the second longest serving manager in Scottish football after Dick Campbell. When he took over, we'd recently scraped through the relegation playoff for Brodie just to stay in the league. When he took over at Christmas in 2015, we were bottom of the league again, finishing the promotion playoffs. Next season, we were champions, and it's been promotion playoffs every single season since in League One. So he's got a job for life at Montrose. I mean, barring a catastrophic Brecon-style meltdown, there's nothing's going to chase him away from Montrose. Yeah. I mean, you could go to a Falkirk or a Dunfermline or a Morton, where he might get 6 to 18 months, wheels come off, sacked. So there's no real benefit in doing that, going to one of these kind of highly ambitious but not very good full-time clubs.
Right, okay then, enough of these digs. How do you think Montrose will do this season? What's the goal for Montrose? Is it playoff again, or are you wanting to go higher this time?
I think it's maybe going to be a bit of a transitional season because we've lost players and we've not replaced them yet, because we've got all those older players. And the fact that there's two full-time teams coming down, you've got Celtic Hearts coming up. I think the league's going to be really, really tough this year. We tend to start really poorly and then kind of hit a groove about November onwards, and that's what we've done every season for the past three or four seasons. But yeah, the arrival of more full-time clubs might destabilise us. I thought we might be interested in like Sir Rory McAllister, but there's rumours he's away to Brecon. So,
oh really?
Would be an ideal. Yeah,
I'd take him with Falkirk.
Yeah, so would
that. Yeah, I think any team in the League One would take him. To be honest,
absolutely. So, let's get the predictions for Saturday, Mark. Obviously, you're not making it. You're not making it down to the game, but what do you think the score is going to be on Saturday? So I can replay this back to you next week.
Let's go 1-1. I'll give you a point.
You'll give us a point. There we go. Ross, what have you got us down for?
We've not lost any goals in the League Cup so far. I'm going to stick with the no goals against, and I'm going to say we're going to win 2-0.
2-0. I'll go 2-0 as well. Now, Mark, we were away down and we were drunk one night. We went to a festival in Leeds. Now, I just want to clarify, so we've got it on tape here. We made a bet, okay? The bet was if Montrose finish above Falkirk in the league, I will buy your Montrose top for next season. However, if Falkirk finish above Montrose, you will buy my Falkirk top for next season. Now, I just want to make sure you're still happy with that bet, because I was willing to give you some points in advance.
I'm not taking any head starts off you. No chance.
You don't want a start?
No, I don't want a head start.
Right, okay.
You remember that we finished 15 points ahead of you 6 weeks ago?
That was last season. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. You don't want any points to start, right?
No, it's all good.
Falkirk Daft listeners, you've heard it here. If Montrose, Falkirk finish above Montrose, Mark Gray is buying my Falkirk top next season. Thank you very much.
I've not told you what I'm going to put in the back of it, though.
Well, that's very true. I take probably a large, I would probably say. It would be nice. I'll wait and see if I prefer the home or away. So we'll wait and see that. Right, Mark, thank you very much for coming on. We'll see what happens on Saturday, and expect lots of abuse if we beat you.
Okay, likewise.
Absolutely. Cheers, Mark. Mark Ray from Latter's Tash, thank you for coming on Folk or Daft.
Cheers, Mark.
And see them in Tro's modem, he's broke down again, so that's, you know, internet.
McCann, hooked it in, it is the breakthrough, and it's Tam Scobie who scores! The local lad says the local fans, delirious those who've come from Falkirk!
This is Falkirk Daft.
So, Ross, that's it for the first Falkirk Daft. How do you think it went?
Do you know, I think we've been crying out for something like this. And obviously, I know I've been pestering you for how long to be doing this, but because it was bad enough you were having to spend all your time with those boys, talk about Rangers, Celtic and everybody else. But listen, Falkirk is your team, it's my team, everybody listening, it's our team. And why shouldn't we have a sort of weekly space to be able to talk about the games, talk about what's going on at the club?
Absolutely.
We're 100% unofficial, as we've talked about, and we're quite proud of that because... Do you know what? Sometimes you just need to be a bit truthful about as to kind of where we're, yeah. where players are, where the club is. And we're not going to be critical for the sake of being critical. We're hoping the club's going to be having a fantastic season. And I think that's where we're all hoping that's going to go, you know. So, no, it's been great.
So what are you thinking for the season, Ross? Let's lay the cards on the table. First podcast, we're going into the new season tomorrow. Lay your cards out on the table. What do you think?
I'm more optimistic than I have been probably any of the summers that we've just had in the last three or four. I agree with something Stuart said earlier on. We were optimistic last summer. I think the difference is, though, last summer we had a sort of youth coach. He talked a good game. John McGlynn is an experienced manager. He's been here, done that, got the T-shirt, got the cap. And do you know what? I've seen enough so far to suggest that we're going to be in the mix. I don't know if I'm ready to kind of put a bet on to say we're going to win the thing.
Yeah.
But I think we'll be far, far closer this year than we have. I think we're maybe two signings, maybe even three signings at a push away from having a finished, real strong start in 11.
Yeah. Do you know what? Next week's show, I'm going to get a few more predictions from you for a player of the year, all that sort of stuff. We're going to assess the squad in next week's show as well. But I guess you're right. It's going to be, I mean, this is the toughest. We've been down here for a good few seasons now, and this is certainly the toughest. When you look down at the teams there, you know, Kelty Hearts, obviously, we know they're coming up with money and have got money to burn. Queen of the South coming down, I've looked decent, by the way. I thought they might fall apart, but from what you've seen, from stuff I've seen from Wally Gibson's side, they looked all right. Dunfermline, we all know about. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Alloa will be there and thereabouts. Airdrie, well, I think Airdrie hopefully might fall away. They've lost a lot of players, obviously lost Ian Murray as well.
I think, and I know he's just left, but I think Montrose will struggle this year. I think Airdrie will struggle. Queen of the South have made a lot of signings. On paper, yeah, they're probably okay. They've lost a huge number of players, though, so they had to bring in the number that they've got. Kelty's an unknown proposition. They've not lost a lot of the players that did really well last year, so do you know what? You never know. They might do a Cove. Hopefully not, but they might do a Cove. And the Filth, I don't even really want to kind of talk about them, to be honest. They've not made any good signings. I think we'll beat them four times. That's just my usual optimism. I'm really looking forward to September. I think we'll take a huge, especially if we start the season well. Do you know what? That'll probably be the biggest crowd we'll take through East End Park in 10, 15 years.
Yeah, well, it all starts against Montrose tomorrow. But thank you very much for listening or even watching Falkirk Daft. We'll be here every week. We're just doing this one as a special bonus one ahead of the season. So this is going out Friday, but we'll be back on Monday. So you get to hear our reaction to Montrose game on Monday with another guest pundit. And if you want to be a guest pundit, it's dead easy. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @Falkirk Daft. Drop us a wee DM. I've also got a Discord channel. set up. Now, this is very exciting news. Basically, we've got a Discord, and if you don't know what Discord is, it's basically like a chat room thing. Sign up for that. We'll have a Falkirk Daft Discord so people can react, chat amongst themselves, and we'll have that all set up. If you drop us a DM on Twitter, I will give you the invite for that so you can join in the banter there. Subscribe to us on YouTube, you get to see our beautiful faces. I've got my Falkirk Daft background. I'm wearing Neil Beazer Holmes top here. Classic. Ross has got several pictures of Falkirk memorabilia in his background there. Yeah. So you get to see us if you will fancy it on YouTube, and you can subscribe to the channel there. We're also looking for sponsors for the show. We need your money. Keep me and Ross in the lice that we're used to. If you want to be a sponsor, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a DM on any of our socials, or you can email us falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. That's falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. Right, Montrose tomorrow. What are we thinking? You're thinking 2-0?
I'm going to say 2-0. Yeah.
I'm going to go 2-0 as well. So hopefully we can get it up, Mark, and end up top. So he has to buy me a top. Great. Right, Ross, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I guess until next time on Falkirk Daft, I've got to say, expect the unexpected.